flock together and come together. As we look tonight in our passage of Scripture, we see the powerful attraction that God can give each of us for one another and for His work as we seek to do His will. As verse 23 says, "And being let go, they went into their own company." And so tonight, as we're going to look at this, we'll look at their, I guess we could say, their prayer. And I titled the message tonight, "Is Our Praying an Appeal to God's Will?" You know, there's a lot of difference in saying a prayer and praying a prayer. There are a lot of times that people, and I've heard this several times, you know, like somebody coming to accept the Lord, they say, "Well, you just pray, say this prayer and follow what I say and then you'll be saved." No, it's not saying what I say. It is praying a prayer, inviting Jesus into your heart. And the passage tonight, as we look at this prayer, it's something for us all to really look at, because as they went to their own company, after their report, they fled to their own city of refuge, which was the God of the risen Lord. Look with me at this prayer or appeal. So stand with me for the reading of God's word and remain standing for prayer. In verse 23, it says, "And being let go," this is after they had been through that mock trial, I guess we could say, and seeing the evidence of the healed man there, "and being let go, they went to their own company," their own crowd of believers, "and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they had heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, Thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of Thy servant David has said, Why does the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ. For of a truth against Thy holy child Jesus, whom Thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of the Israel were gathered together, for to do whatsoever Thy hand and Thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto Thy servants that with all boldness they may speak Thy word, by stretching forth Thy hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of that holy child, Thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness." Let's pray together. Father, we come before Your throne of grace and we thank You and praise You that it is. We cannot come in any merit of our own, but we come in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, tonight as we come to You, You know each of our hearts. You know the burden that's there. You know the problems that we're facing and things that we may be going through at this very moment, especially with our family and friends and neighbors and loved ones, God. And we pray, Lord, above everything, that You in Your own infinite wisdom, because we know that it is, that You will deal as You see fit. You will work in each circumstance and situation as only You can and desire to. And Lord, we're not using that as a cop-out, but we come to You as Your people, asking and interceding for those who are less fortunate, those that were mentioned tonight in the prayer rooms and in the times, Lord, when we meet together to pray. As we intercede for those, that is one of the privileges that You have given us as a church body, is to pray. And Lord, tonight as we look at this prayer of those who had been persecuted and made light and made fun of, God, we pray that we would take and look at the example of it and, Father, follow that which You would have us to do. I pray once again, oh God, that You would take these feeble lips of clay and that You would anoint them and they may speak the truth of Your word. And Lord, tonight that You would be honored and glorified. You know, Lord, I have in my hand no price I bring, but simply to the cross I cling. I come, Lord, to plead, Lord, that you would just have your will accomplished. And Lord, I ask tonight if you just work and do that which only you can as you speak, Lord, and speak through me. Take me and use me, Lord, and I pray tonight that your word, as we look at your word, that you would speak to us from it. For this we ask in Jesus' name. And I pray once again, Lord, that you would let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I will assure you I'm not going to rant and rave and root, holler and carry on. I might do a lot of spitting and all, but that's all right too. Just don't get it too close. But as we look at this, is our praying an appeal to God's will? And there's a lot that can be said about that. And tonight as we look at this prayer, their prayer for God's leadership in their life, or God's will maybe as we should put it, in their life, because as they had already been I guess we could say incarcerated by the religious system of that day. And because of their incarceration, they learned some things that were very needful of them, realizing that those people who have their mind already made up, those people who are religious people, are the hardest people in the world to reach with the truth of the gospel. As I shared with you last week about the lady I met, she was one who said she didn't have anything to do with truth, with church, any church, because she'd already been through the religious thing. And I thought to myself, yeah, you sure have. But anyhow, what I'm trying to say is this: when does our prayer really touch the heart of God? And I be touched on some of this morning as he taught about the problem with illness and problems in our life. But as we look close at this passage, the first thing we see is this prayer was a believing prayer. The first aspect of it was a believing prayer, and it was a belief in the sovereignty of God and who he was. So when we understand that God is sovereign, we need to understand that this is all that we have to recognize, is because they did not pray in an unresponsive space, but they touched the very ear and the very heart of God with their prayer. Turn with me to a Hebrews just a moment. The book of Hebrews, I believe it's chapter 11, verse 6, where the writer of Hebrews says this. He says, "But without faith," listen to me, "but without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." Now see, they understood that before they had ever read the book of Hebrews, before they ever knew anything about it. They understood that it is impossible to find and to know God's will without faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God too. So here, as we look at their prayer, we see exactly what they understood about praying. They believed and they trusted God for what they knew he could do, because he is sovereign. When we use that term sovereign, what do we mean? That means, my friend, that he is in control of everything. The good, the bad, the ugly, the indifferent. That means everything that touches our life, we need to realize if God is sovereign, and he is, then he knows what's going on. We don't need too many times. Did you know that? All we need to do is just follow him and to thank him for it. You know that's hard to do when you're going through difficult times. But Paul says that in the book of Thessalonians. He says, thank God for all things, everything. That means that we're to trust God. That means a part of trusting God. So as we see this, their God was a God, listen to me, their God was a God of creation and not evolution. Look what it says in verse 24. It says there, "And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and sea and all that in them is. Let me tell you something, friend. That covers the whole gamut. That means we did not evolve. I don't care what the idiots say. They can believe what they want to. If they, you know, they must. Sometimes they act like monks. But let's don't even go there. Let's move on. Their prayer, listen to me, their prayer was anchored in the sovereign Lord, who held absolute authority, and he had the power to change things. It was anchored in him and him alone. Do we pray with that kind of expectation and fervency to know that we're praying to a sovereign God who already knows? I believe Jesus said he already knows before we ask what we're going to ask, what we need. We need to trust him then, do we not? Need to trust him. So the first thing we see is they had their belief in a sovereign God. The second thing is we move her along, because I got more than 2 points, now I got six, so I have to hurry. The second thing we see, it was a united appeal. Back in verse 24, there it says it again. There's that term. Ooh. They lifted up their voice with one accord. One accord. This is now the fourth time we see this closeness. This closeness, this unique mending together of one to the other. See, they had already proved the value of united prayer before. They knew what praying united really could do, what it meant. They were now trusting to see God do it again. My friend, let me tell you something. Sometimes, did you know we need to remind ourselves of what God's already done? We need to remind ourselves of what we are. We're getting some of that in here. Nothing happens. We get through. See, they seem never to forget the words of now their glorified Lord, what he said in Matthew 18:19. He says, if two of you agree as touching any things, ask, and it shall be, not might be, shall be done. They knew that. They understood that now. Listen to me, if you get nothing else out of the message tonight, united believing prayer is one of the mightiest weapons God has put within the reach of his people. I'm going to say that again. United believing prayer is one of the most mightiest weapons God has put within the reach of his people, and he wants us to use it for his glory. God has put it there. Let me tell you something. Sometimes this thing we call prayer is the unsheathed sword. The unsheathed sword. The question, has it slept too long in the scabbard of unbelief for us not to really take God at his word and do what he says? Third, let's move on. I could say something there, but I won't. Third thing to notice is this. Their prayer was scriptural, verses 25 through 28. We read that. You know, that's something that, and I mentioned that a while ago, they prayed scripture, and I believe the reason we need to pray scripture too. It reminded them of who God is and also what he had done and what he said he would do. When we pray scripture, we're reminding ourselves of God's acts that he's already accomplished. Reminding ourselves that we serve a God, that there's absolutely, positively nothing that is impossible against. He is in control or he is not God. He's in control or he is not sovereign God. As a reminder for us, what God is and who God is, what he said and what he's done. But let me tell you something, what he will do also. See, they were not afraid to interpret Psalm 2 as David's infallible testimony of the Holy Spirit. Went all the way back to Psalm 2. Why does the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? Because, see, he was pointing back to Jesus Christ. He was telling there in Psalm 2 about Jesus Christ and what he was going to do, because the people were so opposed to him, and especially religious people. See, do you know the Bible, the Word of God, listen to me, the Bible, the Word of God is the gallows on which higher criticism will be hung. the Bible, the Word of God, the infallible, inerrant Word of God, is the gallows on which higher criticism will be hanged. Because when you take the truth of the Word of God, there's nothing, listen to me, there's nothing that can stand in opposition to it, in the truth of it. Ooh, goodness gracious alive. If you read, listen to me, if you read and study the Bible and pray the Bible, I will guarantee you one thing, you will begin to live the Bible. If you read and study and you pray the Bible, you will begin to live the Bible. It will live through you. The fourth thing as we move hurriedly along, we notice also that it was a definite prayer. Verse 29, look what it says. Now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. Speak thy word. It was definite. Notice closely at the word now. Lord, now grant. Please, Lord, our appeal to you is to grant that we may speak, present, live out, show the word of God with boldness. Let me tell you something, friend, that should be our prayer every day that we live, should it not? That we exhibit, or we exhibit the Word of God, we allow it to work through us, and it be to be seen by those round about us. It shows that they assuredly knew the Word of God. Assuredly knew the Word of God for what God, as I said a while ago, what He has done, what He will do, and what He's going to do. They prayed for and they expected an answer. They prayed for and they expected an answer. Listen to me. Their praying was not this blunderbuss prayer. Anybody know what old blunderbuss is? Anybody know what it is? What's a blunderbuss? Anybody know? It's one of those old shotguns that look like a trumpet on the end. I mean, it spreads the shot out. It'll go all everywhere. But see, and me and IB was talking about this the other day. That's so many times that's the way we pray. We pray with shotgun mentality. Spread it all over the whole world. When God wants us to take a rifle and zero in on the cross marks and hit the cross with what we're praying for. Be definite about it. Be definite about it. See, they expected God to answer. You know what they expected? They expected God to take them, listen to me, and to use them to share and relate His word to others. Folks, that's exactly what we should be praying, is it not? Yes, it was definite, but there's something else also. Fifth thing we notice, it was Christ honoring. Look in verse 30 with me. By stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus. Honoring. Christ honoring. See the difference in these tele-evangelists. They are more concerned about their honor than they are Jesus Christ. They want to promote themselves and make themselves some kind of something to look up to. Make a monument to themselves, and that's what a bunch of them are doing. They're making a monument to themselves, and one day it may be a memorial to them, but they'll be dead and gone. But the thing about it is, that was not how they prayed here. See, our self-sufficiency will always paralyze the wonder working of the Holy Spirit of God and His Son in our life. Our self, listen to me, our self-sufficiency. Let me tell you something. We don't have anything to be sufficient about, do we? When it boils all down to the whole thing, comes right down to everything, we don't have anything to really be sufficient about except the sufficiency we have in the person of Jesus Christ our Lord. Him and Him alone. Let me tell you something. In our life personally and in our life as a whole, if He, Jesus Christ, fails to get the prominence, then we have failed all the way around. If we're trying to project ourselves and to show ourselves as someone to look up to, then we fail Him. We need to honor Him. Let me tell you something. When we honor Him with our life, we will show the world that He and He alone can make a difference in our life and change things in our life. He's the one that can do it. He said He would do it, and He'll do it. That's the fifth thing. The last thing as we move hurriedly along. In closing, Look at the assurance they had in verse 31. Verse 31, look at it with me. It says, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all, not some, not many, not most, but they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with what? Is that not what they prayed? Their prayer was definite. God answered their prayer. There's something we need to see here. In chapter 2, verse 2, it was a sound they heard, a sound, and then they were filled. Here we see something different. Now it's a shaking, and they are filled. Listen, to be filled with the Spirit is God's answer to all your needs and my needs as His servant. To be filled with the Spirit, that's all we need. That's all we need, people. All we need is to be filled with His Spirit. And I will guarantee you, everything else will fall in line. Everything. Makes no difference what we're facing. Makes no difference what we're going through. Everything will fall in line because, see, he will be gaining the honor of it. Listen to me. Look at the last part of that verse. It didn't say they gave their own opinion, but it says they spake the word of God with boldness. Let me tell you something. We've got a lot of people today that they want to give their opinion about the word of God. That's what that woman was doing up yonder the other day at the doctor's office there for about an hour and a half. She was giving to me her opinion of what she thought. Not only the Bible, but also other religious stuff she's been involved in. But the thing about it is, God is, He's not concerned about our opinion of what we think about His Word. He's concerned if we know the Word and are ready to share the Word. Let me tell you something. When we take the Word of God to heart, and only then are we able to share it with boldness. Share it with boldness. The question, do I need to add anything than that which God has already made possible? Do I need to add anything? Do I need to say anything else? Because if I understand this scripture, when we pray the way we should in the will of God, God answers our prayers. I do not know your heart tonight, but let me tell you something. I know the one that does. He knows more about us than we know about ourselves. He knows more about us than we care to know about ourselves. He knows our frame that it's dust. He knows the very thought and intents of our mind. He knows the words we're going to speak before we speak them. The Word tells us that. And the thing about it is, what are we? What are we going to do? For us as God's people, and I pray that we are everyone here tonight, but if you're not, you can be. As God's people, our prayer should be an appeal to know His will. And that's sufficient. That's sufficient. If you're here tonight and you do not know Jesus Christ, that should be the uppermost thing in your mind and your heart tonight, is that you come to Him to know Him, not about Him with your head, but know Him in your heart and your life, because it's only then can He change and transform your life. Do you know Him? Do you know Him? And I looked at that hymn a while ago in the book. I'll not try to sing it because my voice is gone. But the love of God, that love of God that He made possible for everyone. And if you, listen to me, if you're a child of God, you've already experienced that love in your heart. And what we do, we're not just to be a recipient of that love, but for His love to grow in our lives, we have to dispel and dispense that love that He's already placed there. And that's what they did. They shared the Word of God with boldness. Friend, that's our task, that is our duty, that is our commission, that is our command, to be about sharing the Word of God. Let's pray together. Father, we are eternally grateful to You. I thank You, God, tonight that You give me the voice to stand and to proclaim Your Word. I realize that I could not do it, but I pray, Lord, thanking You and I ask You, Lord, tonight, that your word would seek deep within the recesses of our life and change and transform us into that which you'd have us to be and to become. Oh, God, how I pray tonight that if there's one here that never trusts you tonight, would be the night of victory for them. And, Lord, if you spoke to that heart about their commitment to you, I pray, oh, God, that you'd help them to respond in the way you would have them to. Lord, tonight as we come before your throne of grace, we ask that we may learn and we may know how to pray your will in our life, how we can pray your word into our life, that your word can be seen by those